Okay, today we're on Daf Yud Gimel. Let me go back to the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. I'm going to the Mishnah on 11b on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and today's Daf Yud Gimel. I'll skip over to Yud Gimel, okay? So the Mishnah says, Ma'nitin, Hechsher Mavui, Beishamim Lechi Bekorah, that the formalities to permit one to carry the Mavui, according to Beit Shammai, you need a Lechi and a Korah. A lechi is the vertical beam, and the korah is the horizontal beam. V'hil omrim o lechi o korah. V'hil says either one is enough. Reb Lezer omer lechayayin. The Tan Reb Lezer says you need two lechis, which are two vertical boards. Again, at the entranceway to the Mavui. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Tamid Chacham, Rabbi Akiva. In the name of Rabbi Shmuel, one Talmud said before Rabbi Akiva, and the Gemara is going to say that this Talmud was Reb Meir. He says that when the entrance to the Mavui is less than Dalet Amot, then everybody agrees you need a Lechi or a Korah. There's no Machloket. The Machloket is when it's from 4 Amot to 10 Amot, then they have a Machloket. Then Beit Shammai says you need a Lechi and a Korah, it would only mean O Lechi O Korah. In other words, Lechora, the idea would be, I assume, that when it's a small entranceway, you notice, you know, the Lechi or the Korah. When it's bigger, maybe you need both. He says, Am Rabbi Akiva al Zevi al Zenechlechu. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the Machloket was across the board, whether it was larger than Dalet Amot or less than Dalet Amot. Okay, let's go to Daf Yud Gimel. So now we're on... All right, the bottom line on Yud Beis Amud Beis, 12b, the bottom line. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar, Tamid Chacham Chulei. So the top line on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, 13a, the top line. It says, Rabbi Kiva Omer Al Zevi Al Zeh Nechlechu Bechulei. By the way, in my art scroll on the English side, it says, Rabbi Kiva Omer Zev Bi Al Zeh Nechlechu. It doesn't say Al Zeh. You have the same mistake in your Gemara's. Fern, in your Gemara, on the top line.
Rabbi Akiva Omer Al Zeh Al Zeh Nechlechu
Bechulei. On the English side.
Yes.
So it was corrected. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Hainu Tana Kama. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva, Lechora is the same opinion as the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama holds there was a machloket across the board, and Rabbi Akiva also holds a machloket across the board. So what is Rabbi Akiva adding, you know, Al Zeh Al Zeh Nechlechu? In other words, the Mishnah says that there's a machloket between Beit Hillel Beit Shammai. There's a lechi or a korah or a lechi and a korah. And then this Talmud, which we're going to say is Reb Meir, says, no, if it's less than Dalet Amot, there's no machloket. And Reb Akiva says, no, the machloket was across the board. So Reb Akiva is saying the same as the Tana Kama. So the Gemara says, Ika b'nayu d'Rav Achli v'itim Rav Yechiel v'lo m'saymi. So the nafkamina between the two is there was an opinion that you had on Yud Beis Amud Aleph yesterday's, not yet Friday's daf. Rav Achli holds if the Mavui is less than 4 tefachim. If it's less than 4 tefachim, entranceway, you don't need anything, according to Rav Achli. So one of them agrees with Rav Achli, one does not. It's not clear which one. We don't know which is which, but that's the nafkamina between them. So there was, it might
is four tefachim enough for a person to fit through?
Well, four tefachim, let's say, they usually say tefach is like 4 inches, so four tefachim would be
16
like 16 inches, so I guess a person could squeeze through. Okay, so now the third line. Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva, Lomar Rabbi Shmuel Davar Zeh, Lomar Tamid Amar Davar Zeh. So in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva says, in other words, he's disputing what the Talmud said. The Talmud quoted Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Shmuel never said that. He says, Valacha Koto Talmud. But the Halacha follows that Talmud. So it's internally contradictory. Rabbi Shmuel never said it, and the Halacha is like the Talmud. So Hagufa Kasha Amrit Lo Amar Rabbi Shmuel Davar Zeh. He said, Rabbi Shmuel never said such a thing. So he says, Alma Leit Hilchata Kabatei. So then the Halacha is not like him. In other words, he's you know, saying Rabbi Shmuel said X, but Rabbi Shmuel never said such a thing, so the halacha would not be that way. He says, "Vahadar Amri halacha koto Talmud." Then he said, "Halacha follows that Talmud," so it seems like a contradictory statement. So Amr Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel lo Amr Rabbi Akiva lechadid b'ha Talmidim. Rabbi Inachinami in this version, he says Rabbi Shmuel never said it. And when Rabbi Akiva made the statement, the halacha follows that Talmud, he was just trying to encourage the Talmidim, like to say, like, this Talmud had an original idea. It's not correct, But it's something like you should emulate. Let's take a look at Rashi on this, the fifth narrow line of Rashi. L'ram Rabbi Akiva, l'haya lacha k'to talmid, l'cha deda talmidim, she'asimu libam l'tor v'yomru pilpul mibam l'picha shibcha b'fneihem. In other words, he's like praising this Talmud, like he has a lot of nice ideas, but inachinami l'lacha is not like him. Let's look at the third Tosfos, l'cha deda bo eda talmidim, ein l'farish k'mo b'shar duchti l'edoa. So frequently, Tosfos says, when it says that he only said the Talmidim, it's so the Talmidim will like shluck it up. He says, but here, it's apparent on the face that it's not correct, because he said Rabbi Shmuel never said it. He was just trying to encourage the Talmidim with their own learning. And let me just do one more line in the Gemara. He says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar near in Idmar. He didn't, according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Akiva never said that the halacha follows this Talmud. He says, it seems like it should be like that Talmud. In other words, it's less emphatic. But he says the disciples' words are logically appealing. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? You know, what's up, Aaron Moshe?
Yeah, I am muted. I just wanted to say that I have a house I still own in Kaimisha Lake, and to Phyllis's credit, we used to feed about 150 kids every Shabbos. They used to come from Camp Oil Baruch, which was a mixture of Chassidisha Oilum, and from Minkach, Camp Chaim Shalom, and they used to come Rebbes, Madrichim, Rebbes, and we used to put out a tish and feed them every Shabbos. So the Rav Amachshe by Krasnikin said the another Gadol of Weinberg, he said that I need a Neiriv on the house. So I told him to put a Neiriv on the house during the week when nobody's around, nobody's going to say anything. To this day, the Neiriv is there, but there's no Kayer, there's only two Lechis. You put a board, there's a wooden thing on the tree, and there's a wooden thing on the side of the house. And it's still there today, because the tenant that's there doesn't know what it is, so he thinks it's something to support the house or to support the tree. They didn't take it off.
I'm not getting a tipus exactly how the thing looks. What did he establish? Tell me what he did.
He made a neiriv. He sent them over. They made a neiriv, but they put. Oh, there's only two lechis.
But is there a wire going across the top? I don't understand what he did.
I don't know if there's. I didn't see
him. All right. So I need to see exactly what happened. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Koma Koma Shtamot Se Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Talmid Chacham L'Tanid Rabbi Akiva." Whenever you see that one Talmud quotes Rabbi Shmuel before Rabbi Akiva, Ein Ola Rabbi Meir. That's like code for the Tana Rabbi Meir. He says, Shashimish Rabbi Shmuel with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Meir studied with Rabbi Shmuel. He studied with Rabbi Akiva. So please mute yourself again, Aaron Moshe, okay? So when it says that, like a Talmud said before Rabbi Akiva, quoting Rabbi Shmuel, that's the Talmud, Rabbi Meir, because he studied by both of them. Now, the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa that, you know, helps corroborate the fact that Rabbi Meir studied with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. He says, Titani, we learn in the Braisa, I'm Rabbi Meir, Sheiti Yitzo Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Meir said, when I was studying by Rabbi Shmuel, Iti Matil Kankantum Latoch Adio. I put this ingredient, Kankantum. So Rashi says here, it's something that makes the ink indelible. In other words, it makes the ink like unerasable. But Rashi says, where's the Rashi? He says, Adrament. I don't know if he means orpiment or what, but anyway, there's some ingredient he put, concantum. He says, Velo amarli davar. He didn't say anything, so like his silence, I assumed he was good with it. Shabbati is the Rabbi Akiva asralai. When I came for Rabbi Akiva, he asered for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain why he asered it. He says, but the main point is that you see that Rabbi Meir, according to this, studied with Rabbi Shmuel, and then he studied with Rabbi Akiva. That's the main thing we're bringing. So, Ini, is this true? He says, "Va'amar Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Meir, Sheiti Elomid Etsa Rabbi Akiva Yitmatil Kankantum Tzochadio V'lo Amar Li Davar." He says, "In this version, first he studies with Rabbi Akiva. The first version he was studying with Rabbi Shmuel, then he goes to Rabbi Akiva. Here he's studying with Rabbi Akiva, and he puts the Kankantum, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't say anything." Shabbat Shmuel Amar Li B'ni Mamalach Tachov. When I came to Rabbi Shmuel, he said, well, you know, what do you do? Well, he says, Amar to the love Larani, I'm a scribe. Amar li bini, he's a hirbam lachtacha, you should be very careful in your trade, your craft. Shemalachtacha malachet shemaim, you're like, it's like, you know, holy work. Shema tamachasar odachad umyater odachad, if you leave out a letter or add a letter, you can destroy the world, people become apikursim. And Rashi brings down again, you know, he was a sofer. So if you look at Rashi, the 10th narrow line, there was Hashem Elokim Emet. If you leave the Aleph out of Emet, it's that Hashem Elokim Meis Chasr Shalom, like the God is dead. The people used to say that, you know, in the secular world many years ago. And he says, I mean, you know, then by Daber Hashem, im tosif orachad, v'ktuv by Dabru, nimsamach machayev. I add a letter, it sounds like plural. So both of those things, which would be tremendous, you know, takala, not apikursus. So back in the Gemara, amarti lo devar achad yeshli, v'kan kantum shemo. I have one element that I put in my ink, it's called kan kantum, shnim batil tochad yo. And we don't assume the give and take, and the Gemara will tease it out, okay? So amar li, v'chi matilin kan kantum tochad yo. Are you allowed to put kan kantum in the ink? It says by the sota that they write these curses out and then they stick the parchment in the water and then it gets dissolved. He says, so it has to be writing that could be dissolved. All right, one second. Now, so my kamarle, my kamahadrele. So for, what was the give and take? Like he says, you know, you're in this important trade and craft. You add a letter, you take a letter, and he says, don't worry, I put kankantum in my ink. How does that relate? So hachi kamarle, lo bai b'chaser v'yeter lo ta'ina d'bakiana. Don't worry about words that are chaser and yeter, meaning that we know that alpim esorah, there are certain words that have to be written. When Hebrew words can be written more fully or defectively, like the word olam, I can write it ayin vav lamed mem, that's with a vav, or I could leave out the vav and all of ayin lamed mem. So he says I'm a baki and chaserut v'teirot. We have the emesis. We say we are not baki v'chaserut v'teirot. If you have a sefer Torah and it's missing a letter, adding a letter, and something which is a chaser yeter, it doesn't possible to say for Torah because we're not baki with it. Unless, I think the Torah to me brings down, unless Chazal have a specific drasha that relates to the added letter. He says, Ela, filu mechash zvuv nami, even if you're concerned about a fly, dama'ati v'yati v'atagi d'dalit, maybe like I'll write it, and the fly will come and land on the tag, on like the little edge of the dalit, umachikle, and be mochiket, umashvi l'reish, turn the dalit into a reish. So don't worry, why? I have this indelible ink. The fly is not going to do anything to my ink. Everything is going to be fine with it. Okay, so that's what he was saying in terms of the tradecraft. The Gemara says, Kasha Shima Shashimash, Kasha Asra Asra. But we still have we have the Brisa. I don't know. The arts would say the second statement was that they identified it as a Brisa. I don't think it's a Brisa because it says, Amar Rabbi Yudamar Shmuel, Mishum Rav Meir. That Rabbi Yudam is quoting Shmuel, who's quoting it as a Masorah from Rav Meir. So I don't think that the second statement is a Brisa. But we have a contradiction between the two statements. In the first statement, first he studies with Rabbi Shmuel, right? And then he goes to Rabbi Akiva. In the second one, he says Rabbi Kiva, then he goes to Rabbi Shmuel. That's one. That's Shemush Hashemush. And then Asra Asra. In the first statement, the Rabbi Kiva is the one who asters him. In the second statement, it's Rabbi Shmuel who asters it. So we're going to clarify shortly what the problem we touched on already, what the problem using Kankuntum is. So B'shleimah Shemush Hashemush Lokasha. So the contradiction, who did he study with first? Did he study Rabbi Akiva first, Rabbi Shmuel first? It's not a contradiction. Mikara to the Kavis Rabbi Akiva. Originally, Rabbi Meir, he went to study with Rabbi Akiva. Ulumatsi Lamekam Alibe, Rabbi Akiva would have Svaras this way, that way, the other way. So Lewis, he'd have Svara for Tara, Svara for Tuma. And he couldn't figure out which way is a halacha, like he's got such a good svara here, a good svara there. So he says, Atzal Kamiz Rabbi Shmuel, Begamar Gemara. So he went before Rabbi Shmuel, he studied the Masorah, now he knows what the halacha is. This is Tawar, this is Tameh. But Atzal Kamiz Rabbi Kiva, this is Sarah Svara. Then he went back to Rabbi Kiva, and he sharpened up his lineage. So it was Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. So that's not a contradiction between the two Brises, because one Brisa could say that he was with Rabbi Akiva first, the other could say he was Rabbi Shmuel first. It depends which part in his learning was Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Ela asra asra kasha, but we do have a contradiction on which one prohibited him from using the kankantum. According to the first brisa, it was Rabbi Akiva, and according to the second brisa, it was Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says kasha. That's a difficulty. We're not able to resolve that.
Can you go over again what exactly the kankantum is?
Yeah, it's just an ingredient that makes the ink indelible. In other words, so you can't erase it. In other words, so once it's written with kankantum, it's not going to dissolve.
Do we know what that is today?
Rashi said adrament. I don't know if he means orpiment. I don't know if that's what it is. I'm not really sure what kankantum is. All right?
Or if it still exists, even.
If there's a Rashi that has this translation, they could figure out what Rashi meant. All right. All right, then the fourth wide line on Yigimel Mid Aleph. Isn't this nicer than the other Gemaras we've had? So now the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Meir Hayomer. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Meir used to say, L'chol matin kankantum l'tocha dio, that you can put kankantum in the ink for everything, chus mi parshat sota, except for the parshat sota. In other words, parshat sota can't be written kankantum because it has to be, you know, susceptible to being put in the water and dissolved. And if I put the kankantum, it'll never erase.
But isn't
basically wait. I'll pause periodically. Okay, just give me a few minutes. Okay, so if you look the second last Tosfos. Chusmi Parshat Sota. Sota says Rabbi Shmuel Shaya Oser Bechula Torah Kula. So Rabbi Shmuel, who asked using kankantum in the whole Torah, so that was the one second. Yeah, that's the second version. He says that he asked using it. Shami Adorish Kzir Shava Mi Sota. So in the main hakpat is Parshat Sota. There's one sa'ad that says you can never use kankantum. And it seems like in one version, Rabbi Shmuel says you don't use kankantum. So Rabbi Shmuel is either learning Gezerah Shava, like it says ktiva by Parshat Sota, and then this is a ktiva by the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. So he's learning that it carries out for the whole Torah. Or else he held it on a Rabbanan level, you can't use it in any part of the Torah. But we'll see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, L'chol matin kankantum l'tocha dio chus parshat sota. Rabbi Yaakov omer mishmo chus parshat sota shav mikdash. So the second version says, it's only the parshat sota of the mikdash. In other words, the first Tana holds that when I write a Sefer Torah and I get to the parshat sota, which is the parshat naso, I can't write it with kankantum. Meaning that l'chora, that theoretically I could use that for a sota. So if I have a sota, I could like take out a scissors and cut out the alot and you from the Sefer Torah and use it. And the second one says, no, it's only if I'm writing a specific Megillah for that sota. So it sounds like the second opinion holds, l'chora, that I have to write a Megillah specifically for this woman. That's the way it sounds like. So my binayu, what's the nafkamina between these two shitot? Am Rav Yirmiyah l'mchok lam in a Torah, iki binayu. So nafkamina is, can I use a regular Sefer Torah for a sota? He says, so the first Tana says, yeah, I can. And the second Tana says, I can't. Okay? So that was that. Now, so Gemara says, Vahani Tanani ki hani Tanai. We think that these Tanaim that we just quoted match up with the following Tanaim. Again, the Machloket is, do I need to have a Megillah written specifically for this woman? So if the woman's name is Rachel, do I have to write a Megillah specifically for Rachel? Or can I use the Stam, a Sefer Torah that was written and not for anybody in mind? He says, to Tanya, and again, with the Sota, that the Kohen writes the Alot. In other words, the curses are written out, and then the parchment is put in water, and it's dissolved. And then he has some dirt from the Mishkan, and then she drinks it. Okay? So he says, Kiani Tanai, to Tanya, Ein Megillah Tekshir L'Lashkor Sota Acheret. The Tanakhama says that the Megillah was written for Rachel, is not kosher for Leah. Let's say Rachel, her husband suspected her of infidelity, and then she admits that she's Tamei Ani, so she's not going to drink the water anymore. But I have the Megillah, it was written for her. Can I use it for Leah? Another woman, you know, was Sota. So first Tana says no. So L'chor, the first Tana is like the second opinion we had above, that I have to have the parsha written for that woman. He says, Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshi Amar Megillat Hakshir L'shkopa Sota Acheret. The second opinion says no, I could use it for another sota. It sounds like I don't have to write it specifically. So we had a machloket above. Does it have to be written specifically for this woman? So in the first machloket, the regular Sefer Torah is good, and the second one says no, it has to be written specifically for that woman. And it sounds like the same machloket here. So Amar Papa Dilmalohi, Rav Papa says maybe these two machlokot don't line up necessarily one with another. He says Adkan lokomar Tanakama hatam, focusing on the Tanakama in the last brisa when he said Emigil takshir lashkopa sota acheret el came into intik l'shum Rachel tulohadra mintika l'shum Leah. In other words, it could be the Tanakhama who says that the Megillah was written for Rachel, can't be used for Leah, because it was written specifically for that person. I can't transfer it over. But the Torah that's written Stam with nobody, no woman in mind, maybe that could be used. In other words, maybe the Hakpada is that I can't use a Parsha that was written specifically for a different woman. Not that I have to write, in other words, not that I have to have a Parsha written L'shem Leah if she's the woman, but it can't be L'shem Rachel. But if it's written just for nobody in mind, I could use it. That could be. He says, Am Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Dilmalohi. Rav Nachman says it also may not be from the second opinion. Ad Kan L'Kamar Rav Achai Bar Yoshia Hatam. Rav Achai Bar Yoshia said that the Megillah is written for Rachel is kasher for Leah. El De'ichtav Miyat L'Shem Sota Ba'olam. But he might require that it be written L'Shem Sota. It doesn't matter the woman, but it is written L'Shem Sota. About Gabi Torah and Dilamik Ktiva, but a regular Sefer Torah, which is written just to study, it's not written for a Sota. Hachinami lo machakinan. Maybe we can't use it. Let me do another 10 lines. I'll pause. I didn't forget you about your Amar Moshe. So the Gemara says, V'leitle, so according to Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshia, it doesn't have to be written for this specific woman. So he says, V'leitle, the Rabbi Achai Bar Yoshia Adnan, doesn't he hold from all that which we learn in the Mishnah? It's the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, Ketav Get Gareshet Ishto. If, let's say, Yaakov writes a get to divorce his wife, turn page, and then he changes his mind. He says, you know, let me let it go. Maybe things will work out. He says, and then he encounters a friend of his who lives in the same town. Ba'amar shmi shimcha kishmi. And and he said, in other words, the friend's name is Shimon. In other words, Shimon is also Yaakov. So he says, so the second Yaakov says to the first Yaakov, Shimcha Kishmi, my name is like your name. Shem Ishtachak Shem Ishti, your wife's name is Rachel, my name, wife's name is Rachel. And we live in the same town. He says, Shem Ishti Pasul Garishbo. So he says, Shem Ishtachak Shem Ishti Pasul Garishbo. So he wants to have a deal. I'll get the discount rate for the get that's been written up already. Is this, you always find the case in the Gemara, but I don't know, in life doesn't seem like this would be like a typical case, but the Gemara says he can't use that same get because the get has to be written specifically for that woman. So just like the get has to be written specifically for that woman, doesn't the Parsha Sota have to be written specifically for the woman as well? It's interesting. In other words, like it's sort of both relating possibly to a dissolution of marriage, but in different ways. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, how can you compare the two cases? Chatav la means la lishma. In other words, la. In other words, so he has to write for her. So he says it has to be with her in mind. Hacha ve'asala k'tiv. Here it says ve'asala k'oin akol ha'tarazot. He says ba'ina nasi lishma asi didam mechikahi. Here we just need asi lishma. The asiya is the mechika, is the dissolution, dissolving it in the water. That's what I need lishma, according to this second opinion we're just quoting now. All right. So now let's see. Aaron Moshe, now's the time. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Talking about the kanketum. What's the difference if you have the kanketum written on there or it's not written on there? The whole idea of saita, the whole thing with saita is all mystical. From the beginning, it's all mystical. You have the Rabbeinu Shloim has his name crossed out on the paper. I mean, he could have told the woman to do 10 jumping jacks, put some ashes in from the Mizbeach, and she'll explode if she was sky. The whole thing is mystical. So what's the difference? The Kan Ketum or not? It'll be the name of the Rabbeinu Shloim will be wiped out anyway.
Yeah, so no, no, it's not. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, with the concantum, in other words, it has to be a writing that when I stick it in the water, that the writing will dissolve. If I put the concantum there, it won't dissolve.
But it's mystical thing, the whole thing.
Well, you're making
the lime's going to dissolve the concantum anyway.
Well, first of all, you're making a little bit too much of a like an analysis with this. I mean, you're saying it's all mystical.
The woman explodes if something. If what happens to the woman if she they don't they before they even start this process, they cut her hair, they rip her clothes, whole business with her.
Right. So, but it's again. So the Ramban in his Pirshei Chumash says that this is the only part in our judicial system that relies on an oath, like on a miracle occurring. But this is what the Torah prescribes. It's like any other mitzvah. Like if you say, in other words, you have a mitzvah for sukkah, you have a certain dinim there. You say, well, I just have to be outside. I'm thinking of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But you have dinim for schach, and you have to do those dinim. Same thing here, the dinim here as well. All right, what else got for me, Olivia?
Wait, I just wanted to say one cute thing. The whole idea of having two couples the same name, Norman and myself were Rachel and Natan. We had very dear friends in Yerushalayim, Rachel and Natan. We lived together in Yerushalayim for a while. Chas v'shalom, there was no sign of all of the sordidness of this, but things like this do happen. That's it.
All right. Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right, what's up, Livia?
Yes, in the case where you would use a Sefer Torah, you would cut the column of the parchment and use that to dissolve in the lustral water with the dust from the holies of holies. In that case, could you still use the scroll of Torah, the Torah scroll, for reading the Parashat HaShavua, for example, in Shur?
I mean, it's not a kasher Sefer Torah anymore. There's a sheet of the Rambam that if one of the chumashim is complete, that you could use it. But the simple pshat is it's not a kosher Sefer Torah anymore.
You could not even use it to read something in Bereshit.
No. I mean, again, there's a sheet of the Rambam that if you want to read Bereshit and Bereshit itself is complete. I think he holds that you could, but we would only rely on that in a very b'di'evid situation.
So you would destroy a $20,000 Sefer Torah.
Okay, but you get the idea. In other words, here we're learning like what the halacha is. Okay,
whether you would or wouldn't
in a different cheshbon. Okay, let's see back in the car. All right, now let's take a look. So we're on the fifth line on Yud Gimel Beis. So Amar Bacha Bar Chanina Galuv Yidul Fnei Mishamar Vayolam Shem B'Doro Shel Reb Meir Kamoto. Hashem knows that in his generation there was nobody like him. And again, we said in the Mishnah that the Talmud was Reb Meir. Vnei Malo Kavu Alach Kamoto. He says, why were they not Kovei Alach like Reb Meir? Shel Yachlu Chavirav Lamod Al Sof Da'ato. That his colleagues couldn't really understand the depth of his learning. Shehu omer al tamei tahor, mar lo panim. Al tahor tamei, mar lo panim. In other words, he was very good in svaras. If something was tamei, he could adduce arguments that it's tahor. If something was tahor, he could adduce arguments that it's tamei. So the let me see what he says here. He says here in the art scroll, he says he would argue both sides of a case convincingly. His colleagues cannot find flaws in his reasoning. They realize that he was able to reason to depths that they cannot fully comprehend, unable to evaluate whether his final line of reasoning was correct or incorrect. So that's why the halakha wasn't like Reb Meir. It's interesting the Gemara says that because we say Stam Mishnah is like Reb Meir, but here the Gemara is saying that not this way. He says... Tana Tona Braisa, Lo Reb Meir Shmo, Lo Reb Nahorai Shmo, said his name wasn't really Reb Meir. Reb Meir means to illuminate. His real name was Reb Nahorai. He says, V'lamin akras Shmo Reb Meir, Shu Meir in Echa Chami Balacha. He says that he illuminated like his colleagues in Halacha. So it's interesting, Nahorai also means to illuminate, but that's what the Gemara is saying. Now the next line, so a number of Mepharshim, we look on the side in my Gemara on the right-hand column, it says below Nahorai Shmo Reb Nachemi Shmo. So if you look on underneath the Masoras Hashas, it says Lo Kaya Reb Meir Elo Reb Nahorai Muzkar B'Talmud. So here that they're saying this is a different statement, not referring anymore to Reb Meir. though some want to say it's the same. He says, "V'lo Nehorai Shmo." His name wasn't Reb Nehorai, El Reb Nechem Yishmo. V'Amir La Reb Lazar Ben Arach Shmo. V'lo Menakrasho Nehorai Shman Here Nei Chachamim V'Halacha. He illuminates the Chachamim V'Halacha. So again, a lot of Mepharshim say it's a different Chacham. All right, Amar Rebbe, Haidim Chadana Mechavroi. Rebbe says the fact that I was sharper than my colleagues. The chazitil Rameir me'achorei, because when the shiur was being given, I was able to observe Rameir from his back. V'ilu chazitim mikame habuchadadis ve'ivaitzim in front, I would have been even sharper. So I don't know where the colleagues were at that point in time, but he felt that he was zoche from, I guess, getting the Torah directly from Rameir. That's what Rebbe's saying. In other words, I had a mesora from the Tana Rameir. I don't know where they were, but he had the mesora from Rameir. And that your eyes should see the Rebbe, and the Maharsha, they quote the Maharsha, says it means like sometimes the Rebbe makes a gesticulation, in other words, he does something, and that adds to the understanding of the sugya. You know what I mean?
Was anybody sitting in the front of Rameir?
So, in other words, if Rameir is sitting me'achore, I assume that there are other people sitting Rebbe. Rebbe said that I was sharper than my chaverim because I saw Rameir from behind. If I seen him from front, it'd be even sharper. But I don't know where his colleagues were. In other words, I don't know where they were. But he felt that he was zocha because he could learn the Torah directly from Rameir. That's why he was sharper. What's up?
Wasn't there something that the mayor knocked on his window or something, and he came out, he ran out, and he saw him in the back, he didn't see him in the front, something like that?
I don't know. Yes, I don't know. All right, now let's see further. Amar Bawan Yochanan, Tamid Ayalu Rameir B'Simcha Shmo. So Rameir had a Talmud, his name was Simchus. Shomer called the Varv of the Varshal Tuma, Arabayimu Shmo Natame Tuma. He would say, anything that's Tame, he'd give 48 reasons why it's Tame. They're called the Varv of the Varshal Tara, Arabayimu Shmo Natame Tara. And for everything that's Tahor, he would give 48 reasons why it's Tahor. Tana Talmivatika Yabiavna. So Tana Tana Bright said they translated a conscientious Talmud in Yavne. Shematahir at a sheretz b'meiva chamishim tamim. He b'metahir the sheretz. Sheretz is a crawling creature with 150 reasons. In other words, the sheretz is the paradigm song, which is tame, like tovel v'sheretz biado. The Torah says eight shratzim, means animals, the four-legged animals, they're all tame. If they're dead, they're tame. Like a cow, I shoot a cow, it's tame, it's an avatuma. And then the shratzim, the things that crawl around, says eight shratzim in the Torah. The Torah says those are also an avatuma. So he says that he would be mitahir the sheretz. You know, we give 150 reasons why the sheretz should be tahor, not tameh. He says, "Amar Ravina, ani adun va'atarenu." Ravina said, "I'm going to take." Ravina lives. He's the last generation of Amoraim. He's one of the, you know, Ravina Ravashi, where the Misadre Gemara. So he says, "I'm going to make an argument to teach this tahor." And it was, this Talmud lived many years before me, but I'm going to make an attack. He says, "Umanacha shememid umarbet tuma tahor." A nachash kills and increases, in other words, a nachash could kill a human, a snake. A snake could kill an animal, and then the person or the animal that's dead is tameh, increases tumah in the world. But nevertheless, the snake is itself tahor. The snake is tahor because it's not one of the eight shratzim. Sheretz shein meimid umar betumah, a sheretz doesn't kill and increase tumah, lo kol shekein should be tahor. So that's his argument. In other words, so again, the sheretz is the paradigm of Tuma, but so this Talmud was in Yavne and had 150 arguments why it should be Tahor, and Ravina says, I have one argument why it should be Tahor. He says, L'kol shekein. He says, V'lohi, and it's not true. He says, Ma'aseh kotz ba'alma ka'avid. In other words, the sheret, the snake, we said the snake, right? The snake doesn't really increase the Tuma. It's like Ma'aseh kotz. It's like a thorn. It's punctured the person, and then the person dies, but he's not really mar betuma. In other words, in Lechinami, he kills things, but he doesn't actually increase the tuma. Michael Frank this morning, he showed me something at Shacharis, something he got from the internet, which was quoting from the Gra, and he was saying that he'd be matayer the sheretz with 150 ta'amim. So he didn't say that it wasn't really 150 different arguments. The 150 is a reference to the Nachash. In other words, that this Talmud apparently had the same argument that Ravina did. And by connecting to the Nachash, so Chazal teaches the Nachash originally walked, and then Hashem punished it, and now it crawls on the ground. So he says, like in the Chumash, it says with the Chatzir of the Mishkan is Me'avama in Baruchav Chamishim B'Chamishim. So it's 100 amos in length and 50 amos in width, and the trap there again. This was all in English, so I have to see it in the Hebrew. Is Kadma Ba'azla Munach Ravi'i. So Kadma Ba'azla, in other words, like that it was originally walking and then Munach Ravi'i, and now it's like crouching on the ground, like Ravi'i. That's why he understands Ravi'i, like to crouch. So it's reference to the snake. So the snake is identified with 100 Amot and 50 Amot. So he says the Gra, at least this sheet that he was showing me, he was quoting from the Gra. So when it says, the Talmud says in the Avnim, the Tar the Sheretz Me'a B'Chamishim Ta'amim, means with 150, I guess with the trap. With the trap for 150, he was Metaher it. In other words, he was talking about the Nachash. That's, and he was able to deduce an argument. All right, let's see back further in the Gemara.
Wait, I have a question. I waited for all the Rav Meir stories. Did they call Rav Meir Acherim Omrim?
Yeah, the Gemara at the end of Horiot says that an incident occurred later on in life where Rav Meir of Natan, they didn't show, like, I don't know, it was like the proper deference to the Nasi, and they got thrown out of the Beis Medrash, but they needed their Torah, and they said, so, you know, whenever we quote Rav Meir, we'll say Acherim Omrim, and whenever we quote Rav Natan, we'll say Yesh Omrim.
So after this illustrious career, that's what he was reduced to. It's
What can I tell you? There are many things like this in the Gemara. Okay, like Reb Lezer, he was placed in the Cherem, right? And he was a tremendous. Well, that's a different case. No, the Tana Reb Lezer. Remember the Tana Shalachnai? We just did it on the Parsha.
Those four guys in the Pardes and.
No. Remember, I just did this on the Parsha class on Friday. Remember with the what he says, if the halacha is like me, like, you know.
Let the river go the other way.
Let the carob tree prove it. Okay, remember you asked me what daf is that, and I said Bamatzian and Ted, right? That was just 2 days ago. All right.
Can you just repeat?
I hear. All right.
Can you repeat? Yesh Omrim, it's Rabbi Nachman, and Acherim Omrim is Rabbi Meir. Am I understood correctly?
So the Gemara at the end of Masechet Horiot says that whenever they would quote Rav Meir, they're going to say Acherim Omrim. Okay. Whenever they quote Rabbi Natan, they'll say Yesh Omrim.
Okay, I understand.
All right. Okay.
Don't we say Al Tamim B'Yatzmecha Jem Mischa that there was a Kohen Gadol at age?
Right. It's the Gemara in Brachot, right? It says that Rabbi Yochanan Kohen Gadol that I don't know when
he was. Tzedaki.
After 80 years, he became a tzaddiki. All right, let's take it back on the Gemara.
You know, you've been saying at night that we've been too quiet. Do you like this better?
Well, this Gemara I like. I can tell you that much. And it's good. It's good to tell Talmidim should be busy.
It's an easy Gemara, more of an easy Gemara.
Well, it's certainly a different pace than what we've been having. But even this takes effort to prepare. Okay, now let's take a look back on the Gemara. Okay, we're three lines above where it gets wide. Amar Baba Amar Shmuel, Shoshin Nechlu Beit Shammai Hillel. For 3 years, Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, the followers of Shammai and Hillel, in other words, the Talmidim. Halal Omrim Malachim Otenu, Halal Omrim Malachim Otenu. In other words, Beit Shammai has their Shitot, Beit Hillel has their Shitot. Each one says, the Halacha follows us. Yeah, Sabat Kova Amra, Elu Beilu Debre Elokim Chayim Hain. So a heavenly voice said, these and those are the words of the living God. They're both saying the Torah. We'll talk about this in a minute. And you could say, this I also said in the Parsha class on Friday, with Eilu Beilu Debre Elokim Chayim. So the Ritva says that the reasons for, let's say, Tuma and Tara, like the Svara is given both at Sinai. It was for everything that you could have different Shitot. All the Shitot were given at Sinai, but the Halacha was also given at Sinai. So it's Eilu Beilu Debre Elokim Chayim Hain. They're both the words of the living God. That's how it could be. He says, but the Halacha follows Beit Hillel. So since they're both the words of the living God, why would Beit Hillel Zocha that the Halacha should be like them? They were easygoing and forbearing. In other words, they're easy to talk to. Aluvim, like, you know, they do something like, they look aside with it. He says, v'shonu divrei b'divrei Beit Shammai. And then in their base medrash, they would teach not only their own shita, they'd also teach the shita Beit Shammai, who they disagreed with. In addition to which, they would always teach Beit Shammai shita before theirs. And it's not just like derech eretz, it improves your own learning. In other words, I saw somewhere if I'm learning and I teach the other person's shita, so the my shita becomes improved. In other words, like, I understand what you're saying. It's similar to like the Bali Tosfot. Like I had one of my teachers in high school. He was a Chumash teacher. He was saying like Tosfos always quotes Rashi first. Like when Tosfos doesn't agree with Rashi, so first he quotes Pirush HaKuntres. And then sometimes you see from the way that he quotes Rashi, you see that his Rashi was different than our Rashi. But the thing is, like, if you teach the other person's opinion, you understand that better, and then you're able to articulate a better position yourself. Now he says, Kotasha Shaninu, like that which we learned in the Gemara Masechet Sukkah. And he's using this as an example where they teach Beit Shammai's position first. He says, Misha Rosh of Ruba Sukkah Vishulcharo B'tocha Bayit. If a person, his head and most of his body is in the Sukkah, but the table's in the house, Beit Shammai posts on Behil Mashir. So machlok between Beit Shammai and Hillel, whether it's just one, wait 3 minutes, okay? There's a machlok between Beit Shammai and Hillel, whether that's a kosher Sukkah or not. So it mentions Shammai first, then Beit Shammai first, then it's Beit Hillel. Wasn't there an incident with Ziknei Beit Shammai Beit Hillel? They went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achoranit. And he was sitting in a way that you, Beit Shammai, say you can't do. And in the Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, it says that they didn't say anything to him, that the riot. And Lewis says, the Ziknei Beit Shammai, and the Ziknei Beit Hillel went, nobody said anything to him. So it's a proof that what you're now saying isn't correct. Amrulah Beit Shammai, Misham Raya, that your proof? If this is the way you're doing it, you never fill the mitzvah sukkah. And Agav Orecha, remember, this relates to the issue. Remember, when the Chachamim are koveya halachas to do it a certain way, are yotzi the mitzvah. Like, in other words, like, let's say you have the three parshiot of Shema. Let's say I recite the three parshiot, but I do it in a different order. Let's say I say Vayam Shema, and then I do Shema, and then I do Vayomer. So am I yotzi or not yotzi the mitzvah? So from here, you have a raya. I think the Supreme Gadim wants to say, and this I had heard originally from Rav Yonas and Sachs. In other words, they say, look, kiyamta mitzvah miyamecha. There was the chashash, according to Beit Shammai, is if Rosho Verubo is in the sukkah, his head and most of his body is in the sukkah, and Shulchano B'tocha Bayit, the Shulchan's in the house, I'm concerned he's going to be nimshach. He'll be eating, and his head and his body will leave the sukkah. But in Achinami, Rosh of Ruba B'sukkah, he's in the sukkah. But he says, if you've been doing it this way, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, you never fill the mitzvah sukkah. Meaning that, according to Beit Hillel, there's, on a Drabbanan level, you're not allowed to have a sukkah that way, and you're not fulfilling the mitzvah once you do. So once the Chachamim say to do a mitzvah a certain way, you don't fulfill the mitzvah if you deviate from it. And the same way with the three parashat of Shema. All right, let me go further, and then I'll get to you, Rav Ramosha, okay? So he says, Lamedcha shkula mashpil atzmal kadosh baruch hu magbiyo. This teaches you that whoever, like, lowers himself, a kadosh baruch hu raises himself. Because Beit Shammai Beit Hillel was very, well, they were nabim. V'chol mabiyah atzmal kadosh baruch hu mashpil. Whoever raises himself, a kadosh baruch hu lowers him. V'chol makazir al gdula b'ucharet mimenu. Whoever, like, seeks out, you know, greatness, the greatness flees from him. The one who flees from it, it follows him. Whoever pushes things, he's like pushing, something should happen, so it pushes back. I let it just go, so then it remains and he'll get it. All right, just a minute. Let's look at the Rashi on this. The eighth narrow line in Rashi, Shonen Devrayim V'Devray Beit Shammai, Shu Beit Shammai B'Vim Raya Devrayim in a Torah, when Beit Shammai would bring a proof from their position from the Torah. We don't even write the Mikra Acher, and he'll bring it from a different Pasuk. We Beit Hillel Dorshin and Mikra Shul Beit Shammai, Lamaba, he says, so Beit Hillel would darshan out Beit Shammai's Pasuk, in other words, They didn't dismiss it. In other words, if Beit Shammai has limud, so Beit Hillel, you know, takes the pasuk and they'll darshan it their own way. Kotash shanin b'sechet brachot, like that which we learn in b'sechet brachot. Beit Shammai omrim ba'erev kol adam yitav yikrov boker yamot shnei mar b'shachba kumecha. Beit Shammai says that in the morning you have to stand up and recite Shema, in the evening you have to lean down and recite Shema. It says b'shachba chav kumecha, when you lie down and you rise up. They learn it like literally. So Beit Hillel says everybody can read Shema however they want. It says when you're walking on the way. He says, so im kein lama nemar b'shach b'chav kumecha. So Beit Hillel still darshens out b'shach b'chav kumecha b'shach derech ben adam shokvin b'shach derech ben adam omdim. It's telling you the time you read in the morning, you read in the evening when people rise up and go to sleep. All right, what do you want to say, Aaron Moshe?
No, I wanted to say three different things. First of all, B'shachach HaKumecha, we had there the Maisa with Reb Tafin, where he did
right, this is in the Mishnah there.
Beisil, whatever it was.
Right.
And also with Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, the Maisa when the guy wanted to become, learn the whole Torah, so so Beis Hillel was easy, going.
Right.
Beis Shammai took a 2x4 and threw it at him.
Right.
I mean, there's a difference throwing a 2x4 at the guy who being a little easy with the guy. And then the other thing is, just like the same thing is true of the critique, when the Raivat critiques the Rambam, he gives first the Rambam, the whole idea, he tells what the Rambam says, no?
Which, the Raivat?
Yeah.
I don't remember the Raivat actually doing that. The Raivat says, Amar Avram, he'll say, I don't agree with the Rambam.
But I think he does.
I don't recall him actually like quoting the. I mean, he's right there on the daf, but I don't recall him actually like quoting the Rambam. All right. Let's see further. Now the Gemara says, this is like eight lines from the bottom. Tamar Rabban Shteishan Mechsan Echlu Beit Shammai Hillel. He says that he had a machloket for 2.5 years between Beit Shammai Hillel on the following topic. Halalim Noach Loli Amshlo Nivra Yotir Mishnivra. One side said it would be more preferable that man had never been created. And in the article they quoted Sfarad say that, let's say if you're not born, so like there's 248 positive commands, 365 negative commandments. So if you're not born, so you're not doing the positive commands, but you're definitely doing the negatives you're fulfilling. Once you're born, so you could violate, you could violate the negative commandments. You know, in other words, it's more easy to mess up, you know, more negative commandments than positive commands, more easy to mess up with that. But not created. Better that he was created. So here in the article they quoted that it means like man from his who's he quoting from? From Rabbi Shlomo Salantin, the Or Yisrael, it means like from man from his limited perspective. And obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything which is for the best, and he's creating man. But from our perspective, from our limited understanding, so one far as to say better not to be created, and the other far as better to be created. But the Gemara says, Nimnu Bagamru, so they voted and they concluded, Noach lo namshlo nivra yotemish nivra. Indeed, it would be better for man not to have been created. Ashav shenivra yifashesh ma'asav, amrilai mashmesh ma'asav. Now that he's been created, he should search his deeds, and some say yimashmesh ma'asav, he should examine his deeds. So the way Rashi takes it, yifashesh ma'asav is going in the past. I should look at my past deeds and do tshuva whatever I didn't do right. Yimashmesh ma'asav is the future deeds. I should calculate carefully, you know, like, you know, having, what is it, the, hefsein mitzvah keneged schara. That like, you know, if there's a mitzvah to come, there's a certain loss involved with the mitzvah, time or effort or money, and can compare to its reward. And the same thing with the Aveira, so he says, in other words, like schar Aveira, can I get hefseida? In other words, like whatever I want to benefit from the Aveira compared to the loss that I'll ultimately have. Now, the Mesillas Yesharim, though, wait 3 minutes, okay? So the Mesillas Yesharim, though, has a different shot with this. He says, pishpush and mishmush. His pishpush is like I grossly look at my deeds, like here I have Aveira, here I have mitzvah, so I want to like tease out, get rid of the Aveirot, and maximize the mitzvahs. Yimashmesh is, even the good deeds that I have could need improvement. In other words, let's say the person's giving a lot of tzedakah, but he's doing it because he wants everybody to praise him. So it's not ideal. He's doing a mitzvah, but he could do it in a better way. And you know, let's say I'm observing Shabbos, but I could do Shabbos even in a better fashion. You know, I'm putting on tefillin, but I could have more kavanos when I put on my tefillin, more kavanah in my tefillah. So yimashmesh, so yifashmesh is to search, like the bad deed, good deed. Yimashmesh is like feeling like a fabric, you know, where is it weaker, where is it stronger? That's yimashmesh ma'asav. All right, what do you want to say, Aaron Moshe? Aaron Moshe?
I got to unmute myself. There was a lot of things about this. I mean, they said the Altai from Kelim was once walking down the steps in Beis Medrash, and he sort of tripped, but he caught himself. And he sat down on the steps, and the Talmidim ran up to see if he's okay. He says, yes, I'm okay. He says, why are you sitting on the steps like that? He says, I'm trying to think what I did wrong.
It's like, right, there's a Gemara in Baba Batra like that on Daf Yud with Rav Papa. Rav Papa was climbing a ladder, and he nearly slipped and broke his neck, and then he said, okay, what else you got?
It's a Maisa with the Baal Shem Tov, who saw somebody being Mechal Shabbos or something like that, and he started to think what he did wrong.
Right.
That somebody embarrassed Rebbe Michal Zlotcheva, the Zlotcheva Magid, and he didn't stand up for him or something like that.
Right. The way I've seen is that, like in Chassidus, if I see an Avera, that's a siman that I have that Avera. In other words, if I see somebody doing an Avera, in other words, I see somebody Michal Shabbos, that's a siman I'm Michal Shabbos. Yeah. I see somebody speaking Lashon Hara, siman I did it. So in the incident, so he saw a person be Michal Shabbos, and then I think he was Nizkar, that a Tamad Chacham is called Shabbos in the Zohar. Yeah. And that I don't know if it was the Baal Shem Tov, whatever, but the idea was that he'd heard Lashon Hara against his Tamad Chacham, and that's like equivalent to Chilul Shabbos.
Yet we see that people will want to leave their place of being the henna meziv hashchina. Look at Rabbeinu HaKadosh, she came back to make kiddush on Friday night.
All right. Anyway, so
it's a good elul daf.
Yeah. So I'm not 100% sure with that thing. It was in the Tolos Yaakov Yosef. I had heard it from Rabbi Simon once, but I'm not sure of all the details with it. But right, with Elul, right. So in Elul, I actually mentioned this Gemara a few days ago, last Sunday, I think, whatever, or with someone during the week at the Young Israel, you know, that now is the time to like to be Mefashresh or Mamashresh Masim. You're right, during Elul. All right. Now the vacation is over. We're back to Mishnah.
They want to say that Shuvah is an acronym. I think I said this once to you, that for the five letters.
You mentioned it.
Yeah.
All right. Let me see if I can find the page with this. One second. Let me give me one second. Let me go back. Give me one second. All right. All right. Let's take a look. Okay. Everybody ready for the next Mishnah? All right, let's take a look. So, Manitin, Hakora Sha'amru, Rechav Kedekabel Ariach. So we said we have a crossbeam that we're using at the entranceway to the Mavui. So the crossbeam, and here like, this here's like, you see like a Korah. I mean, this has got different things with this, but you get the idea. The crossbeam, so it has to be how wide? Kedekabel Ariach, to support a half brick. Ariach Hatzila Veina Shel Shosha Tvachim. And Ariach, there's going to be a question in the Gemara how big the Ariach is, but a regular brick is 3 Tvachim by 3 Tvachim. So the half brick is 1.5 Tvachim by 3 Tvachim. So the idea is that, let me see if where is the picture here? Yeah. Right. So here, if you see my arrow here you see the Korah, and then the Ariach is like a quarter on each side. In other words, there's different ways to fit it on, but in other words, it's 1.5 tefachim wide, and the Ariach and the Korah has to be 1 tefach. So here he's got 1.5 tefachim wide by 3 tefachim. So the 1.5 is going on 1 tefach. So it's protruding on each side a quarter tefach. Okay. So he says that's the minimum. He says, so it's enough. If it's 1 tefach wide, it'll be able to support the Ariach. Rechava kedil kabel Ariach, so it has to be wide enough to support an Ariach, which is a half brick. ubriach kedei lekabel ariach, and also strong enough to support the half brick. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda omer rechava af al pi she'ein bria. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, it can be wide. It doesn't have to be so strong to support the half brick. He says, Haitashal kash rishal kanim, if the kora was made out of straw or kanim, what is, how does he translate kanim? He says, straw or reeds.
Reeds.
Yeah, straw or reeds. He says, Rowena takilu hishal matechet. So I can view it as if it's made out of metal. So again, he's saying it doesn't have to literally be able to support the ariach, more like theoretically. All right, now the next line, it's not clear if this is part of Rabbi Yehuda or the Tana Kama, and the Farshim, you know, divide up on this. Akuma, Rono Taki Iluhi Pshuta. If it's Akuma, so here, the way they have the picture, Akuma is like this. If it's like slanted, so we can view it as if it's flat. In other words, obviously it can't support a brick, like the brick would slide off of it. But I could view it as if it's flat, if it's akuma. He says, agula, runo takilu hi merubad. If it's agula, if it's, you know, whatever, you know, rounded out, so I could view it if it's flattened. He says, I didn't explain right. I made a mistake. Forgive me. These are both akuma. Agula means if it's round like a pipe. Let's say the kora, it's round like a pipe. So he says, Agula, Rona Taki Iluhim Rubad. So then I could view it as if it's flattened out. He says, Koshesh Bekefo Shoshat Fachim, Yeshbo Rochav Tefach. So here he's giving us pi. So if it's three tefach in circumference, then it's one tefach in diameter. We got it? So in other words, so if it's rounded out, but if it's three tefachim, in other words, it can't, in other words, right now, if it's a round pipe, it can't support the brick because it's round. It'll flop over it. But I could view it as if it's flat. But he says if it's circumference of three tefachim, so then the diameter is one tefach. It's like pi is 3.14. So you get the idea.
The right. Formula would be 2 pi r. Does it work out? R would be 1/2.
Right.
Diameter.
Well, the only thing is the 2 pi r... That's where you have the radius already, and then you're
the calculating. Radius is a half a tefach.
Yeah, but here we're working out the other way. Here we have the circumference, and we want the radius. You know what I mean?
Work it backwards.
Right. But the same idea. Anyway, all right, I think that's it. Now, let me undo everything. One second. Oh, not this. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did? Okay, one second. Let me stop recording.